Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... Well, good afternoon. You're listening to Middays on Faith Radio, usually with Susie Larson. And if you listen regularly, you can tell I am not Susie Larson. My name is Erin Ekstrand, and I have, I'll be honest, a little bit of a daunting privilege of filling in for Susie this week. But I am so looking forward to the conversations that we are going to have together. If you do listen, you know Susie has a ministry not only through radio, but as an author, as a speaker, as a teacher. And she and her husband, Kevin, are taking some time this week to really seek the Lord together as they look forward to a new year of ministry. And I know that they would invite and cherish your prayers for them as they engage in that process. So in the meantime, we're going to, as I said, have some powerful conversations. And I'm so excited about the time we're going to have today. We knew a few months ago that I was going to be filling in for Susie. And at that time, one of our producers, Carissa, said, well, is there anybody that you know that you'd enjoy talking with, you want to speak with? And the name that came to mind right away was our guest today, and that is Ron Hutchcraft. Because I knew that Ron would be coming off a powerful summer of ministry with and to Native America. And I want to hear those stories, and I want you to have a chance to hear those stories as well. I want to let you know I've had a few prayers as I've been preparing for this show. One of those would be that all of our hearts and our minds would be opened, our awareness would be raised as to what is going on in Native America Day, that we'd have a deeper burden to pray for Native America, and also that specifically some of us would be called even deeper into the battle. And so, fair warning, I have prayed that. And I would just encourage all of us as we listen today, just to listen with hearts and minds that are open, that say, Lord, how would you have me respond to what I hear? My other prayer is that our conversation would be like a really good campfire, where I just have to throw a log on every once in a while with a question or a prompt and just let Ron burn, because he's got so much good stuff to share. And I can't wait to get him on here. Let me tell you a little about, even though he really doesn't need introduction here on Faith Radio, Ron Hutchcraft is an impassioned contemporary evangelist, speaker, author, and radio host. As president of Ron Hutchcraft Ministries, Ron and his team specialize in developing authentic, relevant, and creative tools to, as Ron says, bring the lost to the cross. Ron is committed to communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost in their language and to motivating and equipping believers to communicate Christ to the lost in their world. For over 25 years, Ron has been a part of people's daily lives through his popular radio program, A Word With You, which you hear every day here on Faith Radio at 5:30 p.m. Central. And he's also the co-founder of On Eagle's Wings, an outreach and leadership development program for Native American and First Nations young people. He has traveled with and helped shepherd Native-led On Eagle's Wings teams that have brought hope to over 100 Native communities. He's also the founder of the Warrior Leadership Summit Conference, which annually brings together young people from almost 100 Indian nations. In addition, the On Eagle's Wings Warrior Scholarship Fund has helped many Native young people go to college to train for spiritual leadership among their people. And Ron has worked alongside his late wife and lifelong ministry partner, Karen. They have 3 children who have served with them in the ministry and 9 grandchildren. Ron, welcome, and thank you so much for being with us today.
My goodness, after you just said all that, I'm worn out. I need a nap.
You're a busy guy.
And by the way, I'm not Susie Carlson either. I just want there not to be any confusion.
Yes, okay, yes. Neither of us are Susie, and we're not going to try to be, right?
Yeah, people probably figured that out. Yeah.
Well, Ron, I can't wait. I want to just, like I said, get that fire burn and let you talk. And the first thing that Susie always does, and I want to uphold this beautiful tradition that she has to start each program with scripture. And so I know you're a man who loves God's word. Is there a life verse that you have, or perhaps a passage of scripture that God's just really been impressing on you lately?
Well, yeah, and in fact, I'd just like to quote the book of Ezekiel to you. No, I'm only kidding.
I'm all ready to go. I'm like, let's do it. Come on.
There goes the program. Certainly I can tell you that my life verse, since I've been really probably a teenager, is Romans 8:37, that simply says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And the verse right before that talks about some of the worst stuff that can happen to you in your life. And it says, in all these things, all the ugly stuff, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, there's a passage of scripture that isn't very long, but it will be relevant to our conversation today. We've got time. Would this be too much Bible?
Have time for God's word. Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, this is Faith Radio. Of course you do. This is from Acts 17, and I want you to think of it in terms of Native Americans. And here's what it says. From one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the exact places they would live. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. I read that, you know, Aaron, and what it hit me was that it says that God decided who the original people would be in every part of the world. It wasn't random migration. Well, so he picked what we call Native Americans to be the first people in this part of the world. Mm. Now, what was his purpose? What drove him to put different people in different places? And it says, so that men would seek him and find him. Now, here's my question. If indeed the original people of any given part of the world are part of the key to his redemptive plan for that part of the world?
Mm.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
The first Americans weren't my folks for many centuries before I got here and my folks got here. It was the Native Americans. It was all these tribal people. And is it any wonder then that our enemy would say, well, if they're the key to the redemption of this continent, I want to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And he almost succeeded.
Yeah.
There were 10 million Native Americans, it's estimated, when Columbus came. In 1900, there were 200,000 left out of 10 million. So that's the context of what we're going to talk about today and today's young people. And absolutely, I believe, historic, in over hundreds of years, history-making little group of young people who themselves are Native people and who are making a difference that may be unprecedented in all the missions history on this continent.
Mm.
Other than that, not much important we'll talk about.
No, nothing at all. Oh, man. Oh, so exciting. Well, before we even get into that, Ron, you've given a little bit of history, but you know, we've got some new listeners to Faith Radio, others who maybe not have not heard you. Can you help set the stage a little bit for us, one, in helping to paint the picture of what is life like for Native Americans, particularly for Native American young people today, and how did God call you specifically to be a part of ministry with and to Native America?
Well, let me make my personal story, which is a long story, short, I hope. I've been in cross-cultural youth ministry my entire life, which is, I mean, I had, like, Teddy Roosevelt was in my first youth group. And so this goes way back. But I've always, you know, I've worked in hardcore urban communities in Chinatown and rich white kids, poor white kids, all over the country. I've spoken all over the country. I had no idea who the most broken young people in this country were until I was invited to speak on a reservation. This goes back 27 years ago now. And I, at the same day that I went there, the largest report that was ever done on reservation young people came out of the University of Minnesota, actually, and it identified Native American young people as the most devastated adolescents in America. I'm like, well, how? I mean, I've been doing cross-cultural youth ministry all over this country. How have I never heard this? How do I not know this? Well, I got to the reservation. I spent a week there. I met some of those young people. I talked to the people whose hearts were broken for them, and I realized now there is a group of young people in this country whose suicide rate is, on national average, three times that of any other kids in America. For every American young person who ends their own life, three Native Americans do. And in many areas, including some of the areas you reach, it's 7 to 10 times that of the rest of the kids in America. Something is terribly wrong, and we never heard any of this. And then the rates of sexual violence, for example, against Native women is 2.5 times any other women in America. There is so much pain. There is so much, historically, yes, but in their own generation. So the rates of addiction to anything you can name are just off the charts because of the attempt to try to cover up the pain. And so here we are with a group of young men and women who, I never met kids before who had no dreams, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
until I went to the reservation. And now I've met a lot of them. Because they're sure they won't have a future. They've buried so many of their friends already.
Yeah.
You die young on the reservation.
Yes, you do.
And so that's the despair and the hopelessness that broke my heart. I didn't plan to get a broken heart when I went there. I came home with one, but God made it very clear right away. He said, Ron, you're not the answer to this. He said, I want you to do something, but it isn't you go run into the reservation, because here's the most disheartening thing of all. After 400 years of mission work, realize, first mission field in this continent was Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
First Bible translation was done by John Eliot into the Algonquin tongue. But after 400 years of missions effort, 4% know Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, this is one of the great tragedies of the Great Commission. We're doing better almost anywhere in the world, Aaron.
Yeah.
Than with the first Americans. And this is our folks. This is right here. And Billy Graham, 40 years ago, rightly said, please remember these forgotten people. They're right here. Their names are on our cities, our states, our streets.
Yes.
They're all, and yet they are the forgotten people. And so here we have the unfinished business of the American church, Aaron. We missed something on our way to the rest of the world. Thank God we've gone to the rest of the world. But the people who were put here by God first are facing enormous brokenness, tremendous hopelessness. And God said, Ron, you're not the answer. What you need to do is there need to be Native young people who are going to their own people. But that was not happening. To our knowledge, no one had ever done that. But today, I'm going to give you the bottom line, and then we'll back it up and see how this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've been an eyewitness to thousands of Native Americans coming to Christ, many of them publicly on a basketball court in the center of their reservation. In all the missions history I can get my hands on, there's never been a breakthrough like that. And it's coming through young men and women who have lived that brokenness, who have lived that despair, who were the statistics, and now are telling about Jesus and bringing hope where hope has been very hard to find. It's amazing the story that goes between those two points.
Oh, well, we look forward to hearing that hope. But Ron, as you shared even before we went on the air, the stars shine bright only against a dark sky, and we needed to see that picture. We needed to see what life is like. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the hopeful things and the way that God is working through the ministry of On Eagle's Wings and Warrior Leadership Summit. You're listening to Middays with Faith Radio. On Faith Radio, I've got Ron Hutchcraft, and we'll be right back. Sets free will be free indeed. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. That is a powerful truth, and it's not an accident that we played that song, because Ron, I know that truth and that song was pretty significant this summer at an event and a conference called the Warrior Leadership Summit that you held.
You're trying to make me cry.
I know.
You got that song.
You're making me laugh.
Not fair. Well, I'll tell you, you know why, and it'd be good if we didn't just have a private thing.
No, we need to share this.
We share that. Warrior Leadership Summit came after we began that first summer after God broke my heart. My wife and I said, let's take a few Native young people out. They were very hard to find Native Christian young people, but let's take a few of them and let's go out and try this thing of Native kids reaching Native kids. Well, one missionary, veteran missionary on that reservation said to me, Ron, I never thought I'd live to see the day when Indian kids would lead Indian kids to Christ. Well, they did. In ways that no missionary had been able to, no pastor had been able to. We hear this all the time when we go to the reservation. Heartbroken Native believers, grandmas and missionaries and pastors will say, you know what, we can have VBS for the little kids and we have some old people in our church, but nothing works for the young people. Nothing is getting through to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty amazing to see we didn't know what we were doing, but we were very prayerful, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
But the basic concept of Native young people being the answer to this, was when tested was proven. So out of all of that, over the years of going now to over 120 actually reservations or reserves in Canada, we began to go, you know, the training that we're giving our team, boy, that would benefit a lot of kids, mm-hmm. Native kids all over the country. They don't have youth conferences for them, and they have such, you know, their lives are just unlike the lives of the rest of the young people in America. They're, mm-hmm. You just don't grow up with that kind of dying. At Warrior Leadership Summit a few years ago, I had said, how many of you have either thought seriously about suicide, attempted suicide, or have seriously thought about it, or lost someone young to suicide? Virtually every hand at the conference went up, hundreds of Native young people. Now, tell me a youth conference in America where you'd get that response.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd get some hands, but it wouldn't be everybody.
No.
So, and sadly, if I'd asked the same thing about sexual abuse and other things, it would have been another stunning, stunning response, mm-hmm. if they were willing to say that. So, well, this conference is just for Native young people. It has grown now to where we had 63 tribes represented this year at it. And it started out with about 40 young people from about two tribes. And it focuses on what it means to be a warrior for Christ and to know Christ and to follow him in the environments in which they are challenged to do that. Now, one of the things that's very clear at this conference, and that we have to make clear on every reservation, one of the reasons that only 4% of Native Americans are estimated to know Christ after 400 years of missions is because of one big lie. Jesus is the white man's God.
Mm-hmm.
He is not to be even thought about by us. He is for white people. And, you know, you can see where they might believe that, because historically, a lot that was taken from them was taken from them in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
He will have nothing to do with it. He will judge it someday. But the Christianity that they figure, well, Christianity, that's Jesus' religion. Jesus is for white people. So they automatically say, we don't even consider this. Well, we make it clear, these young men and women, and by the way, our speakers this year, six of them were Native young people for a major main stage, talking to a large crowd of the Native young people.
Oh.
It would challenge any evangelist in this country.
Yeah.
But they were speaking to their own, and it was amazing. They do this on reservations all summer long. And so what happens is that while we had about one out of four young people who attended this year come to Christ at the conference, that's not uncommon at all.
Mm.
Most of them publicly. And it is just that. Now, the song, what about the song? Our theme this year was Live Free.
Yes.
And the song that became an anthem, though I don't know if we planned it that way, was Who the Sun Sets Free Shall Be Free Indeed. Now, think of all of the darkness and the depression and the sadness, and then the choices you make to try to deal with it that only make life worse. And think of those words, Who the Sun Sets Free is free indeed. And I cannot tell you, Aaron, I hear it over and over again. So many of these young people are told, you are worthless, and I'm quoting them, you are worthless, I wish you were never born, you will never amount to anything, you're useless. And one of our team members was literally, when he was 9 years old, placed in a trash bag by his father.
Mm.
And until Jesus came into his life, he thought he was the kid that was trash. And so and there are so many stories I could tell you like that. They walk into that room and they see all these Native young people. They're under the banner of Christ. And the first thing they go is, I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I am not alone.
Yes.
And it is such a powerful, it's the launch pad for an entire movement of God now in Native America. And our team comes out of there. Our teams are young men and women who've often come to Christ there. We had a number of them that were baptized there because there may not be a place at home to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what their shirts said, Aaron, and considering the temptations and the pressures back home to tempt them, when they got baptized, the shirt they wore said, no turning back.
Ugh.
So when they're able to sing that song, I'm a child of God, yes I am,
mm-hmm.
I don't know where to put all the feelings that I have. The other song is Good, Good Father,
mm-hmm.
because the theme through most of their stories is simply a man who was anything but a father, who abandoned them, who neglected them, whose name they don't even know, or who abused them, assaulted them. And when they sing Good, Good Father, I get the Kleenex box.
Oh, I can't imagine. And I come back to that verse you even shared at the beginning, that life verse of yours, Ron, at Romans 8:37, that we are more than conquerors. But you say there's all of that ick beforehand, right? There's nothing that can separate us. And here are these young people that have experienced some of the darkest things you can imagine.
Well,
and
here's
yet
what
they
find out. Excuse me, yeah.
Yeah, no, please, go. You're the campfire. I'm letting
out.
You burn.
That's why I wear suntan lotion. I usually do. When they come to this conference or when they come to one of the events, here's what they hear. That Jesus, you've all heard Jesus is the white man's God. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Jesus was a Mediterranean Jew.
Yeah.
I have never met a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Mediterranean Jew, believe me. He was a brown-skinned man from a tribe called Judah, who lived on land that had been taken over by others, came from a place, a community people said nothing good could come from, lived homeless, lived poor, died a violent death. Sounds like the reservation.
Yeah.
This is not a white man's God. This is the God who so loved the world. And when these young men and women get to the reservation, now to us, a reservation battlefield is a battlefield. A reservation basketball court looks like a place to play ball to most people. It's a battlefield for us because that's where the battle is joined, to take these young men and women away from whatever darkness has held them. And I'm the little white guy on the bus praying. That's my job. That's where I belong. And it's funny, I speak all over the country, but not there. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My job is simply to pour into these young people, and by the way, if my brothers and sisters in Christ are listening and they go, you know, how did I not know this?
Yeah.
I what I'm told constantly when I share this is I had no idea. I can almost tell you what people will say. I had no idea, and I'll say neither did I. I had no idea. The next instinct I had was, what can I do about this? And we'll answer that when we get a little later on in the program. But I just want you to know that these young men and women are what hope looks like for their people. And I watch as they share their hope stories. We get all the young people together because we do basketball stuff, a lot of sports stuff, food, and a lot of special features, music sometimes. But what that does is just have the young people there. And what's fantastic is as these kids tell their hope stories, one-on-one, some of them from the microphone, and those stories would move your heart, and they break through to the hardest hearts on the reservation. It is stunning.
Well, we are looking forward to hearing about some of those hope stories and those battles that took place this summer. We've got a hard break right now. When we come back, let's hear some hope. Let's hear about what God was doing through the On Eagle's Wings ministry this summer. You're listening to Middays with Faith Radio. I'm with Ron Hutchcraft, and we'll be right back. I'm a warrior, and we're talking with Ron Hutchcraft today, and I'm ready to hear some powerful stories of some amazing young warriors who went to battle this summer for the hearts of Native American young people and shared their faith in Jesus Christ. So, Ron, I'm throwing a log on the fire. You go. Tell us those stories.
Well, you know, let me tell you about, again, context matters, mm-hmm. and so there is one reservation in this country that when President Obama decided to send out federal task forces to help local law enforcement on their reservations, they picked four of the highest crime reservations in America. Three of the four, with 20, 30 federal officers there, their crime rate went down. One, it went up. It's this one. It's the first one we went to. But think about this. Can you imagine 80% unemployment? Yeah, 80% unemployment.
Wow.
Therefore, two-thirds of the people, two out of three people you meet there, lives below the poverty level. That's what breeds a lot of the crime and the brutality and the desperation. Girls are vanishing from this reservation. The meth gangs seem to rule the place. They've come in there and almost taken over. That's where we went. A year ago, we get a call from a gentleman there and said, I'm bringing a group to Warrior Leadership Summit. Well, he wasn't on our list. We were thrilled because we know how notorious. This reservation was described in a national magazine. The exact words were, it's the most depressing, most dangerous place.
Mm.
And he said, we're bringing some young people. Turns out, well, we came there, we went there this year as our first res, and it turns out that he started a whole youth ministry by rounding up some kids to go to this thing you never heard of, and they were so touched at Warrior Leadership Summit, it started a little youth program. There'd never been youth ministry there, which is usually the case. So we wanted to really support him and go back there and see if we could generate some real momentum in the direction of Jesus. And we had great turnouts. When the hope stories were given, there were just absolute, and no matter how hard this place is, it was absolute. Everything stopped.
Mm-hmm.
The basketball stopped. The talking stopped. The walking stopped. Everybody stood around that court. And they've never heard Native young people who don't do this, who would be transparent and talk about whether it was Eddie talking about being left in a trash bag by his dad, whether it's Rachel, who was, because she was betrayed by the one man she could ever trust. She didn't know who her dad was, and so when her mother got a boyfriend that she thought was finally a man who could be a father for her, he exploited her trust to sexually assault her. She had a gun to her head the night she met Jesus. These are the kinds of things that are just, we don't even have a file folder for many of us, you know. These guys told so powerfully about it. Our wrap-up, our last night, was given by a Navajo young man who said he started his hope story by saying, my first recollection as a little boy is seeing my mother in a pool of her own blood.
Ugh.
And that was the kind of violent home that Wes came from. And he was determined. He hated his father. He said, I was looking forward to the day I would hear he had died. He had so hurt our family. And he said, the one thing I was determined was I would never become like him. I'm never going to be like him. And he said, by the time I was 16, I was my dad.
Mm.
I was drinking. I was treating women like he did. And he said, that's when I got the rope. And he was ready to end his life, but he remembered a member of his family who had told him about Jesus, and he said, wait, I probably should check him out first, even though I know he's the white man's God. Well, he found out the truth about Jesus. Well, he told his story and then went into a powerful gospel presentation of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And you know, Aaron, I will tell you this. The message of the cross crosses every culture I've ever been in. I've been all over the world. And when you get to the cross,
yes,
and the God who hung on a cross for us,
yes,
it just captures your heart.
Mm.
When an invitation and this hardened reservation was given to come to Christ, they did. And they just started a stream forward, including some of the big boys who come to play basketball. And that's all they came for. They left with Jesus in their heart. So that's how our summer started. But then there are different kinds of challenges on different reservations.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take you to another one, and these must remain nameless because there's just some sensitivities here to we need to keep in mind. But this one is probably one of the most fiercely traditional. The centuries-old beliefs and ceremonies of these people have really been very, very difficult to ever break through with Jesus, because your tribal identity is not just your ethnic identity. It's not just where you live. It's who you are.
Sure.
So you come to Jesus, you literally are no longer who you are.
Yeah, you're forsaking that. Yeah,
you're not you anymore. You're not us for sure anymore. So we went to that reservation, and we had just tremendous turnout. A lot of people showed up for the basketball action and the pizza and the snow cones and all of that. But very quickly, they became engaged with the hope stories of these young men and women. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we've never heard of, you know, natives like us talk like this. And it just is, it's so overwhelming. Let me tell you, almost a semi-humorous incident in the midst of this battle that we had. They had had their rain dances to show to call on the spirits to bring rain. Well, we had a storm approaching the night we were going to give our public invitation, and we could see that actually I think it was our second night, a night before that, and we saw it approaching, and the radar looked terrible, and it really could have wiped us out for that night. So we prayed that you know, would not come. Well, you know what? I mean, there was an angry man who came, and he said, "It rained everywhere but here. It's your fault. It's your fault it didn't rain. We danced last weekend to get rain, and it's not raining here." And I thought, it's almost humorous.
Yeah.
That do you realize the irony that you're saying Jesus is where the power is?
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway,
it's your
the
fault.
Last night. Yeah. So you what are you stopping the rain for? The last night, I mean, one lady came and tried to knock over our speaker columns.
Wow.
Unplug our speaker system. I cannot tell you the breakthrough.
Mm.
The people who have worked there for years, seeing all these young people from this tribe streaming to center court in front of everybody to say, "I'm choosing Jesus tonight."
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and the way the man who's been there for 20 years working to try to break through told us, here's his exact words. He said, in my estimation, this is the most important night spiritually in the history of these people.
Oh, praise God.
Well, I don't know about that. All I know is, who did God use? These terribly broken young people who have let Christ come in and be the chief of all chiefs for their life. And what he did on the cross and his power released by a resurrection as he came out of that grave. And because he walked out of his grave, he can walk into our hearts. And he did walk into many hearts from that tribe that night. It was just against overwhelming odds. We were threatened with being shut down by the tribal council. Mm-hmm. None of that prevailed. And this is a very important point to say. Aaron, what we see happening, historic things happening on these reservations, can only be credited. Only God can get the glory.
Yes.
Only God could break through. And isn't it just like him to use these young people so broken to be the heroes of the story, the warriors who actually end up breaking through where no missionary has been able to, no pastor, nothing. It's kids. It's young men and women. You know, 16-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 22-year-olds who are from 23 different tribes this summer. And it's just like God. But, you know, when the vessel is broken, there's more places for the light to shine.
Light to shine through. Yeah. Yeah.
And we watch that happen. Storms stop because God stops them. Young people who would never consider Christ, if you told them 3 days earlier they were going to be choosing Jesus and doing it publicly on their basketball court in front of everybody, they would have walked away from you, thinking you were something wrong in your head.
Mm-hmm.
They are choosing Jesus. The breakthroughs are amazing. And I want to say this. None of this happens but for the prayers of God's people.
Yes.
And the ultimate outcome of our time together needs to be that somebody who's listening says, "Ron, like you, I had no idea about this, but I do now. And God has been doing something in my heart while you guys have been talking. And I want to begin to be a prayer warrior for the first people of this land who have been too long forgotten, too long neglected, and too long without real hope." And I believe this generation could be their time.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
Their time has come, and I know what it looks like because I see it in the faces of these young men and women.
Mm. This is a spiritual reality we're dealing with. I mean, this is when you talk about the suicide, the addiction, the sexual abuse, the trafficking, and all of the things.
It is
spiritual battle, and it cannot be won without prayer. So, yes.
No, it's won in the heavenlies. Oh. And honestly, there is a kneeling Christian behind every victory. And Esty Gordon said years ago, prayer strikes the winning blow. Service is simply picking up the results.
Mm. Oh, that is so good.
And you know, I'll tell you this, and I know we will be taking a break here in a minute, but
just a moment.
Let me tell you the prayer, and then I will tell you on the other side how dramatically God can answer it. I have never prayed this way till I started to go to reservations, and now I ask everybody to pray this way. Lord, please keep them alive till we get there.
Mm.
Now, because so many die so young. That's quite a prayer. I've never felt the need to pray that in all my years of youth ministry. But you do in Native America. Keep them alive until we get there. Wait till you hear how God answers that prayer.
Well, we can't wait to hear that in just a moment. And keep listening as well, because we're going to let you know how you can engage and be prayer warriors for our brothers and sisters in Native America. This is Middays on Faith Radio with Ron Hutchcraft, and we'll be right back. See the nations come to Jesus. And as we're learning today, that we don't need to go to distant shores and islands to see nations that are hungry for the truth of Jesus Christ. There are nations of people, there are tribes of people living within our borders today in Native America that are so hungry for Jesus. And we're talking with Ron Hutchcraft and hearing stories of hope of Native American young people, of warriors that are going and are sharing that truth. And Ron, before that break, you shared with us a powerful prayer that you have come to pray as you are doing these trips and these events on reservations, and that is, Lord, please keep them alive until we get there. Can you tell us about an answer to that prayer, please?
Well, let me tell you about a couple. This is literally what I believe is happening. We were on our final reservation this summer. I had spoken earlier about four reservations that were the highest crime in the country, and where President Obama had sent federal task forces to help turn that around. This was another of those four reservations. We like to go to the easy place.
You choose that. Oh my goodness, I love it. You're going right into the battle. Let's go.
Well,
where's the darkness the strongest here?
Well, these guys are warriors, and they are fighting for their people.
Mm.
Well, in fact, several years ago, this reservation was the subject of a Senate subcommittee investigation, along with some others, because they were at that time having a suicide rate 13 times greater than any other kids in America. So, and just to tell you about one conversation, we have Mark on our team is a Cherokee young man, and before Christ got a hold of his life, the brokenness of his family, the dying all around him, all the things that had happened in his life had brought him to a point of being suicidal, and there actually he had four suicide attempts in his life. But when he tells his hope story and why that despair has ended and turned to hope, he's able to stand up and say, I am today a real Native man, without addictions, without having to end my own life. He said, Jesus has made me a real Native man.
Oh,
I love that.
Powerful.
Yeah. So so much for the white man's God.
Yeah.
I lie. So he was talking to a guy, in fact, I think the guy was one of the gang members. We had four gang members go forward at invitation time and give their life to Christ there. And this young man that he had talked to for three nights, as he prayed to give his heart to Christ, this had not come up in the conversation, but as he prayed and he said, and God, please forgive me for trying to kill myself two nights ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, Lord, keep them alive.
Yes.
Until we get there.
Yes.
But let me tell you, this one is the one that still wipes me out.
Mm-hmm.
We were on another reservation this summer where a beautiful young lady just graduated from high school, but not a beautiful life story. And Marissa stood up to tell her story, which is that with all the abuse in her family, with literally having been told she was worthless, she tried to deal with it with alcohol and drugs, and that only gave her more problems. She tried to cut, and she said, I couldn't bleed it away. And I finally decided the only way I would ever be free would be to die. And so she was figuring out her own suicide. It just so happened at that time on Eagle's Wings, came to this reservation, and she was a young lady sitting out there on the edge of the court, and she heard this young woman I'd mentioned earlier who'd had the gun to her head because of how she had been sexually assaulted and everything, trust betrayed, and she heard her, and she thought, man, I'm going to tune in here. And when she heard about Rachel's Jesus, when it came invitation time, she went forward to find the oath, asked this Jesus into her heart. Well, that was 5 years ago. Here she is now standing on that court, looking into the faces of a lot of hers, a lot of who she was. And she said, 5 years ago, I was you sitting here. Here's what I had been through. I was ready to die. Here's what I heard about Jesus. And I thought to myself, because she had shared her hope story 3 or 4 times, but this was the place, almost to the exact day, that she came away, the girl who was going to end her life, found eternal life that night through somebody with a story like hers. And I thought, dear Lord, Marissa's an answer to that prayer. Look at how God is using her now. Someone 5 years ago was praying.
Yes.
Lord, please keep them alive till they can get there. Mm-hmm. And God kept Marissa alive until that night on that court. Now here she is extending that life in Christ. But the best part of the story is this. This is our God. All glory to him. There was a 13-year-old girl that night, and one of our young ladies had been talking to her all night long. And she found out that the girl's story was very much like Marissa's. She had attempted suicide twice, had the same kind of abuse background. This was Marissa's little sister.
Oh, wow.
Coincidentally, quote, was sitting almost exactly where Marissa had sat 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And you know the rest of the story. When the invitation was given, she came forward, and Marissa got to lead her little sister to Christ. Lord, keep them alive until we get there.
Yes.
God's really at work. And I know some people are maybe asking, what can we do?
Yes.
I want to ask you to equip yourself to pray. And by the way, you can help. The real battle now is to equip these young men and women to be lifetime leaders for Christ. On this team, they feel a call. They sense their call that they should be doing this for their people the rest of their life. We help them go to Bible school. We help scholarship them. We're going to do that for Marissa this fall. She starts, I think, this week.
Oh, how exciting.
So we need to help them, and you support them. It isn't that we go and try to do it. We support some of these young leaders. If you go to hopefornativeamerica.com, you'll meet some of them, hopefornativeamerica.com, and you'll find out there, you can place to click on that says Equip a Leader. And all year long, this is not just when the Summer of Hope ends, we continue all year to disciple them. They are up against enormous odds spiritually. Mm-hmm. Satan has so many buttons to push in their life.
Yes.
And the toxic environments in which they live are, he hates these guys. He hates these young warriors for what they're stealing from him. And so he attacks them more brutally and more relentlessly than I've ever seen any young people in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if this, you say, well, man, I never heard about this. would you become an advocate for Native Americans in your church, your Bible study? Somebody needs to give them a voice. They don't even have a voice in many of our churches.
Yes.
And when God broke my heart, he said, I want you to tell my people about this.
Yes.
And we all have that responsibility. Now that you know, share it and begin to mobilize caring for this this tremendous need that has been neglected far too long. And there are practical ways you can get involved at hopefornativeamerica.com. And I suggest you go there as an action step after we're done today. And Aaron, I just want to say to you and to Faith Radio, thank you for opening your heart to this. Thank you for wanting this story told. This has been in the corner, in the dark, for far too long. And there's a wonderful promise. We started with Scripture. It's a good place to land.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 4:16 says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
Yes.
And it's all I can tell you is this. Native Americans have a warrior spirit. And once that warrior spirit comes under the leadership of Christ, you fasten your seatbelt
yes.
spiritually.
Hang on.
they are awesome. And I'll tell you, if you could see them on that court, they shame me mm-hmm. with their boldness, their transparency, the tears that they shed mm-hmm. for people who are not coming to Christ. I wish I'd seen the tears for my people that I've seen Native people pray for their people. There's tears behind what they do, and there's tears in their prayers. They have much to teach the entire body of Christ about what it means to really step up for Christ. They're amazing, and Satan knows it, and that's mm-hmm. why he's all over them mm-hmm. and has tried to even destroy them. And Billy Graham said years ago that these may very well be that Native Americans are the sleeping giants spiritually. These are his words in America. And if they were to awaken spiritually, could they become the evangelists to reach our whole nation for Christ? Well, wouldn't that be just like God?
May it be so. Absolutely. Yes. You see, Jesus came to a tiny town on the outskirts in the hidden places. That's where our God is moving. And I think if Henry Blackaby says, watch where God is moving and join him. And if you have sensed that invitation today to join where God is moving, I encourage you to go to hopefornativeamerica.com. Ron, we just have just about a minute and a half or so left. Could you lead us in just prayer and show us what that looks like to pray for our brothers and sisters?
Lord, thank you that you've never forgotten these people who many have forgotten. And now, Lord, we thank you for raising up, just as you do, these unlikely heroes. You love unlikely heroes. Your whole book is about them.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lord, we pray now that this would be the generation where the first Jesus generation among the first Americans will be
yes.
born. And
yes.
I pray that you would help those who've listened to know the answer to the question, what should I do? For this is not just to know. This is to do something about. And may the unfinished business in the American church, may they turn their resources toward the first people of this land. And may that be part of the answer to this prayer. And Lord, please keep them alive until the hope of Christ can get there and raise up a generation of these young warriors, please. In Jesus' name,
mm-hmm.
amen.
Amen. Ron, thank you. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for being so faithful to the call that God has given you and your family. And thank you. Thank you for sharing about what God is doing.
Thank you for your great heart.
Oh, absolutely. Again, the website, hopefornativeamerica.com. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow on Middays here on Faith Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com.
To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.